Chapter 3. Question not, learn not. Among the multitudes of the Mechanicum's cults were many who despised the human form. Whether they were a modest proportion of an outpost small crew, or the entire populace of metal-clad forge worlds, or if they openly expounded their loathing of flesh or hid it, they were legion. Their opponents argued that a biological machine honed by millions of years of evolution was difficult to better. The tinkerers, cyber-surgeons, and gene-hackers paid them no heed. In Sustenance Hall 46 of the Scepter Station of the Heptalagon, the chief facility of the Trisolian system, two natives of Mars were debating the relative merits of the pro- and anti-former naturalis positions. It was the week the War Master came, though at the time of their conversation that was several days away. The interlocutors were low-ranking tech adepts, elevated from the mass of the Mechanicum's slice of servile humanity, but not far along in their careers. They were natives of Mars, and of a similar age, having taken installation of their intelligence corps only a couple of decades before, though they did not know each other then. Upon posting to the Trisolian system, their paths had crossed. Finding common ground, a few old haunts they both knew, a smattering of shared colleagues, they had struck up a fragile friendship. Their names were Friedrich Adam Silip Kuvo and Belisarius Kall. They did not agree on much, it was true, but it was equally true that they enjoyed the friction of their differences as much as the ease of their similarities. When their shifts coincided, they would take sustenance together. They often lingered in the hall for a while to debate with one another, as they did that day. Surrounded by the clatter of nutrient cubes delivered to metal trays and the constant hum of plasma cell recharging coils, their often contentious discussions were as safely held there as anywhere else. A good thing, too, for their debate had taken them into dangerous territory. The subject, the racket of the hall shrouded, was their shared mistress, Domina Magos Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma. The line of conversation worried Friedrich. For the same reasons, it energized Kall. Somewhere inside Domina Magos Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma was a woman, though most people would not see that, because what covered the woman over was so alien as to obscure her human origins completely. "Consider her appearance," said Kall, before unflatteringly describing her. "Domina Hester Aspertia Sigma Sigma is exactly 3 meters tall when she is at full extension. The body she wears, for the benefit of the world, is a monstrous thing, as long again behind her reverse-jointed pelvis as it is tall above the clutch of mechapeds that propel it. Her mirrored helm face covers over the front of a cranial augmetic 3 times the volume of a standard human head and 12 times the weight. From her occiput sprouts a circular crest of data arrays, short-range emitters, omnilinks, sensor banks, augers, vox passers, cogitator shunts, and other communications devices that are as complex as any void ship's sensor suite. In deference to her willfully forgotten origins, her mirrored face is fashioned like a carnival mask, that of a well-proportioned human female whose beauty is so well considered in its artifice it is bland. The eyes and the lips are sealed. A hint of sardonic humour has been stamped onto the mouth."
"You shouldn't be speaking this way," interrupted Friedrich.
"Why not?" said Kall. "It's true. She would admit it. That silver mask is as human as the Domina gets. She is the epitome of the cyberphile cult. There is no remnant of humanity beyond this ironic statement. If there are fleshly components to her, they are sealed deep within her armoured warframe and never displayed.
But she is human. Have you ever seen her organic parts?"
"Well, no."
"Well, then," said Kall.
"She's still human," insisted Friedrich. Kall shook his cowled head.
"She has a multiplicity of arms, 7 at my last count, but the number never remains the same for very long. The Domina is addicted to change in a way that some say praises the Omnisire, but which I privately hold to be very unhealthy."
He stirred his caffeine drink. It smelled more of oil than it did of anything else.
She cannot be called human. Not any more. Any semblance to normal human anatomy is gone, save that silver face, said Call gleefully, which is appended to that body like the punchline to a jest of questionable taste. Which is exactly what Call had just made. Friedisch was appalled.
You can't say that, said Friedisch. You absolutely cannot say that.
He spoke quickly. They were both lowly men, and Friedisch could not yet afford the binaric augmitter unit he coveted. Denied its lightning-fast mode of conversation, he had sped his organic speech to compensate. It was an affectation that frankly irritated Call, though he was generous enough to hide it. So Call thought. Friedisch was perfectly aware of Call's irritation, and was irritated in return. On the surface, Call appeared unaugmented. He was one of those who regarded the human form as holy in itself, as an expression of the machine god's perfection. Friedisch was of the other school, seeing the body as a natural accident that must be improved upon. Not that his own augmentations had gone to plan. Friedisch's ocular enhancement had not bonded correctly with his organic corpus. His skin was a sickly white around the plastic-coated steel, spongy-looking with persistent infection. A scent of biocidal gels clung to him as a result of unsuccessful self-treatment.
How can anyone proclaim their adherence to the Mechanicum Code when they swap out components so freely? Call said. There is a perfect point that can be reached, but that is the intersection between compromise and ambition.
Friedisch put his tin mug of sustenance solution down.
That's not perfection, he said. That's settling.
It is a kind of perfection, insisted Call. In admitting our imperfections, we move as close to perfection as we can get. Imperfections must be embraced and accommodated. They cannot be ironed away.
Friedisch's frown grew a few more wrinkles. They pulled at the puffy skin around his augmetics. Call couldn't help looking at them. Friedisch had taken the upgrade too soon, before he had sufficient monies or influence to ensure good quality fittings.
That's heretical, said Friedisch.
Piffle, said Call. Human rivalry cannot be programmed out. We in the Mechanicum are human. Human knowledge, human power. If we abandon human form, we abandon the machine god. How often do we forget that?
Friedisch disagreed with Call. He was worried what would happen to him if he were caught spouting such nonsense, and by extension, what would happen to Friedisch himself.
You skirt dangerous ground, said Friedisch. The central tenet of our creed is improvement of the human form through embracement of technology.
Yes, said Call in agreement,
though in actual fact he was not agreeing. It was a rhetorical trick he overemployed.
And look at what the Emperor achieved doing just that. In the Legiones Astartes, Primarchs, Custodians, and the others, he has accentuated nature's art. What he has done is sublime, but the form remains. Surely the machine god must be pleased with these finest works of the Omnisire.
If you believe him to be the Omnisire.
Thou shalt know him by his works, quoted Call from the Principia Mechanicum.
If you can't accept the Emperor as the messenger of the machine god, you will be waiting for your Omnisire for a very long time, said Call.
Oh, there is too much dissension as to whether he is the machine god or the Omnisire or neither, said Friedisch. I'll leave the logic gate on either or for that one.
I've made up my mind, and I am entitled to my own views.
Whatever he is, said Friedisch, the transhumans he has made are a means to an end, you'll see.
Do you really think so?
Friedisch nodded earnestly.
Above all things, the Emperor wishes to preserve humanity, not advance it into new forms. They are tools to be used to protect the baseline types. They are all sterile.
Not so, said Call. They merely reproduce in a more efficient way.
A parasite's way. The engineered gene code of the legions requires a host. They cannot reproduce alone, but must be nursemaided.
Then you do not see them as the refinement of the human genome?
They're not. If that were the case, why is the Council of Terror made up of baseline humans? If the Emperor is the machine god,
or his Omnisire, said Call.
He couldn't resist interrupting everything Friedisch said.
Or his Omnisire, why doesn't he embrace the machine as we do?
Predish leaned closer in.
The storm is dying. Messages have started to come through from Terra. The Mechanicum has been disbanded. There is a new Fabricator General on Earth, not on Mars. They are calling this new organization the Adeptus Mechanicus. It's a coup by any other name that brings our people further into Terra's thrall.
And? Kelbor Hal is a traitor. There should be consequences to his actions, said Call with a shrug.
He is the rightfully chosen emissary of the Machine God, not the Emperor, hissed Friedish. He has done wrong, fine. Let him be tried by his peers and executed if that is judged appropriate, but no one outside the Martian hierarchy has the right to replace him.
The Omnissiah does.
If the Emperor is the Omnissiah.
If he is, allowed Call.
Which he is not, said Friedish.
There followed a brief, tense silence. Nearby, energizers crackled. Sanctified oil dispensers chimed. A trio of higher-ranking adepts scuttled by, twittering at each other in binaric. Let us return to the debating question, Call said. Friedish wearily acquiesced. So, your standpoint is that the Emperor does not believe in improving the human race in toto. The creatures he has made are for a purpose and are disposable.
It's obvious, Call!
Call held up a silencing finger. Whereas I hold that we instead are over-reliant on the supplementation of the human body with these crude augmetics. He gestured pointedly at Friedish's own mistake. If you are correct, I can't say who has the better goal. Can you honestly say your additions have improved your life?
Well, I...
The question wrong-footed, Friedish. The implants were problematic.
There is the low-band spectral sight and the dark sight. I can see in the dark very well. The PICT function carries data-rich imagery directly to my memcorp without requiring it to pass along my optic nerve shunts, which frees up more bandwidth of my native neurology for...
But has it really brought you anything? Interrupted Call. Again. Apart from a succession of fungal infections... He smiled, a quick, nervous, wholly condescending flash of white teeth, and gestured with his cup at Friedish's inflamed skin. Friedish sighed. Call's lack of conversational etiquette was maddening. Once he began talking, it was exceptionally difficult to break into the data stream until he had delivered whatever point he had to make, often several times over.
No, he said, but it will. This augmetic is just the start.
Exactly, said Call, agreeing without agreeing, again. Now, let us suppose that the Domina felt the same way about her first implants and still feels the same way. Why do you think she upgrades herself constantly? What has she gained?
Nothing,
he said, answering his own question.
Well, nothing except a 500-year lifespan, the ability to control a battle fleet by thought alone, and more cogitative power than there is in every thinking unit in the system. Not much utility at all, Friedrich said sarcastically. She controls all the military assets of Tresolian. I would not say that is nothing.
Call ignored his jibe, leaving Friedrich put out. Let us not even touch on what she has under those robes, Call said. They shared a little shudder. Well, my friend, said Call, mark my words, you will never find me altering myself to such an extent. I am human. I know what I am. There are far more efficient ways of increasing one's lifespan, powers of thought, and the other innumerable facilities the Machine God has seen fit to gift us, without mutilating the original body beyond recognition.
You are a heretic, Call. Biogenesis is not the Machine God's doing.
I believe it is. And if it isn't, so what? All this metal is counterproductive, inefficient. If I am to be enhanced, let it be by the science of the pure biologians, not the genitor mechani. You'll never catch me becoming like the Domina. Friedish was flustered by Call's standpoint.
The human body is insufficient. Melding with the machine is the best way forward.
I say improving on the marvels nature has provided is. Machinery is the inefficient part, and once bonded, it is far from freeing. It is limiting. The battle plate of the legions is a better solution. Put it on when needed. Take it off when done. Replace according to role and function.
You're obsessed with the damn legions.
Friedish attempted a laugh to cover his annoyance. It came out forced. My dear fellow, we are adepts of the Mechanicum. Mechanicus,
whatever. My point is, we're all obsessed with something.
Oh, are you finished?
Friedrich nodded, his mouth full of his meal's last morsel. They returned their plates and cups to the fabricators, where every fragment of organic matter down to the last bacterium would be removed to be recycled into fresh nutrient cubes. The plates would be melted down and reformed. The station had plenty of energy and precious little water. Refabrication was more efficient than washing the dishes.
Tesla, said Call.
A bulky servitor detached itself from a charging socket and clanged heavily towards the tech priests.
You shouldn't give them names, said Friedrich,
though he viewed Call's servitor enviously. He had not accrued sufficient status or credit to afford his own.
Why not? Said Call. You should have a little more spirit, a little more individuality.
It's just not done, said Friedrich.
I wish you would think about your future sometimes. How does it look? Follow the maxim, question not, learn not. It's a warning.
That's not a warning not to question. It's a warning that if we don't question, we don't learn, said Call.
But only in a certain manner, Call.
Are you talking down to me, Friedrich?
Not you ever do that to me, thought Friedrich. Both meanings are meant, he said. You can't see that, and it will get you into trouble.
Ah, my friend, one day you will have the emotional excision, and you will no longer care what happens to me, though I am touched. Who needs hierarchy, that's what I say.
He leaned into Friedrich and lifted his hand to hide a stage whisper.
Hierarchy gets in the way of getting things done, he said. You chase status all you like. Leave the great deeds to me.
Arrogant fool, thought Friedrich of Call. Mind-numbing energy parasite, thought Call of Friedrich.
Anyway, Call said, Tesla likes his name, don't you, Tesla?
Yes, master, groaned the cyborg.
The voice came through an augmeter set into his left shoulder. Tesla had no lower jaw.
He's named after the fabled master of the motive force, the great Sripskan Murikan, explained Call condescendingly.
Friedrich gritted his teeth. Call had told him that only a dozen times before.
He was a polymath.
Call patted his hulking servitor unit on its muscled shoulder.
Tesla's name is a sign of my respect for those who master more than one field. It's a sign of my ambition to do the same.
There is nothing wrong with ambition, said Friedrich, but misapplied ambition will get you killed. That is what the maxim warns against.
My dear Friedrich, in this terrible era, everything will get you killed. My ambition distracts me from how awful life is.
You should try it. Friedrich was ambitious. He had a stinging retort ready to deploy. It never arrived.
I shall see you for last watch sustenance, Call said.
Yes,
said Friedrich, meaning to say no. He never did. Despite himself, he enjoyed Call's company.
As the machine god wills it, said Call,
and off he went. Call's workspace quarters were as modest as his rank, located far down the levels of Scepter, near where its vast trunk anchored the station to its host moon. Tech adept accommodation was a warren of intersecting corridors laid out by machine-governed algorithms, but confusing to the unenhanced human mind. Narrow doors gave way into small rooms. In each one, and thus also in Call's, there was a single atmospheric vent for those that needed air. A rotatable bed had a workbench on the underside, a tool locker nestled close to its head. Call's room was further cramped by Tesla's revitalization cradle. Call was tall, like a lot of Martians. The natives of the Red Planet had delicate bones lengthened over millennia of living under low gravity. But the beds of the processing station were made to fit a physiological average taken over hundreds of Forge worlds, so it was too short for him. When he worked at his little bench on his folding stool, he banged his left elbow on Tesla's cradle. The Mechanicum prided itself on being the guardian of knowledge, but at the macro scale it was susceptible to the idiocy of brute generality. It was also damnably inefficient. Call preferred to work around all that. Friedrich was envious of Tesla for all the wrong reasons. Call hadn't told him that he'd built the servitor himself from scavenged parts, like the cradle he rested in. Like many of the idiosyncratic tools that cluttered his work desk, they were mainly of Call's own building. He had purchased none of them, been awarded but a few, and acquired most of the parts for the rest in dubious circumstances. Fundamentally, the Mechanicum operated upon the principle of discovery, or finders keepers, to put it more crudely. Call put his acquisitiveness down to an individual expression of the principle that guided all Forge World societies, and doggedly refused to acknowledge his acquisitions as theft. Technically, Call shouldn't have filched the bionics for Tesla from the recycle heaps of Gamma 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 when he was stationed there. Technically, to lay claim to the corpse of the indigent who provided Tesla's organic component, he should have filled in rather a lot of forms. Finders keepers. They could call it stealing if they wanted to. He knew better. He didn't have time for any social conventions like custom or law. They were so restrictive. The pursuit of knowledge was a pure calling that overrode any moral compass. Not that the priesthood was in any way moral. He sincerely believed what he had said to Friedrich. Too many of his colleagues were focused on their own advancement. Advancement in position was a corollary to advancement of human knowledge. To put it the other way round was counterproductive to the consolidated effort of the Mechanicum. So often, individual human desires undermined collective human effort. Call could easily progress to a higher level with the priesthood. Doing that meant taking a specialization, pledging allegiance to one of the Mechanicum's myriad factions, and all the limitations those things brought. At higher levels, his work would be more heavily monitored. At some point, he would have to rise through the ranks. But not yet. He had so much to learn. For the time being, he chose to operate under the Auspex beam, as it were. Tresolian was a major transit hub for the Mechanicum. Aboard the Heptalagon, there were biologians, astromancers, genitors, artisans, magi, logi, transmechanics, lexmechanics, Siberians, cogitati, tech priests of every conceivable type. Call had spent the last few years going to each kind that interested him. He flattered his way into their confidence, learning all he could of their knowledge before proclaiming, with great regret, that his talents were not fit for their specialization, and that he must humbly take his leave. Then he would move on to the next, and begin his learning anew. Call was smart enough to know this had been noticed. Some tech priests took their time in choosing a cult to follow, so such behaviour was not out of the ordinary, unless, of course, it had been going on for years. Call fit into the latter category. For the time being, it did not matter he had been detected. A certain capability for schemes was a requirement for a talented adept. Besides, the data logging his movement tended to get lost when he went on to his next posting. He had nothing to do with that. Organisational inefficiency was to blame. The data would exist forever, but sanction would only fall on him at the Heptalagon if someone went looking for it and was successful in finding it. He had pressing problems to solve before he must embrace the Mechanicum's abstruse power games. All the data he accumulated required storage. If knowledge gave the man the power of a king, storage was his kingdom. Call wanted to be a powerful king, therefore he required a large kingdom. It was for that reason that Call had his intelligence core out of the socket in his head and in pieces on the table in front of him. He had the device divided neatly into two. Cogitation unit on the left, memcore processor on the right. Delicate mechadendrites flicked out of burrows on Call's wrist, manipulating tiny components he could not trust his fingers with. The main feature of his desk was the massive magnification unit, mounted on an armature clamped to the side. Status screed ticked up the display integrated with the glass. In the centre, a complex arrangement of diagrammatical graphics guided his actions. Without mental aid, indeed with a headache owing to his removal of his enhancements, Call undertook work so complex no higher adept would dream of entrusting him with it. At risk was the precise recollection machines afforded a man. One slip could obliterate years of hard-won skill. Sometimes he thought it would be better to have two brains rather than keep doing this. The hole in his head was cold. The aseptic gels that filled it and kept it free of disease chilled his brain with evaporation. He did not dare cover his head over. His hood might dislodge the sterile Plus-Tech patch closing the opening. Really, this kind of operation should only be undertaken in one of the Genitor's surgical theatres. Call enjoyed a challenge. He smiled at his own audacity. Only slightly. The smallest of movements could disturb his delicate work. Before mid-watch bell, Call had performed 14 illegal procedures on his own mind. When mid-watch plus one bell sounded, signifying the start of his shift, he was rebuilding the augment. He glanced at his chronograph as the last panel clicked into place and his mechanical tendrils whipped back into the holes in his wrists. Call lifted his hands and shook them out before gingerly picking up his intelligence core. It was important they be steady. It always surprised Call how heavy the intelligence core was. He thrust the hand holding the core up to the wrist into a pot of biocide he kept on his desk, leaving it in the cold liquid long enough to kill every living thing on it, but removing it before his skin started to dissolve. Next he leaned forwards, so that the mirrors he had arranged over his desk reflected the socket in his skull clearly. Ever so carefully, he peeled away the plastic patch with his left hand. He pushed the intelligence core home with a quick, robust movement. It was important it be done firmly. An electric jag fizzed through his mind. The click, as it slid into place, echoed in the bone behind his nose. "Now," he said, "the moment of truth." With the edge of a fingernail, he depressed the reset switch concealed beneath the black-and-white machina opus adorning the top of the core. Either he would be rewarded with a greater capacity for knowledge, or his brain would be cooked from the inside out. Red diode lumens lit up around the rim of the core. When they had formed a circle, they blinked and turned green. Call relaxed. He had tensed without realizing it. He smiled brightly as the machine interfaced again with his brain, imposing useful readouts over his vision. Storage capacity read at 25% full. "Threefold increase, Tesla," he said happily, then frowned. He had not time to tidy away his tools. He had to trust no curious adept would glance into his room as he left. Call hurried out of his quarters, Tesla stamping behind him. He was already late. He left his other important work forgotten at the edge of his desk, a silver sphere with a power that would rival the Dominus when it was finished. The sphere had to wait. He had duties to attend to.